You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man.
Elon Musk exposes Twitter files showing the censorship of Hunter Biden's laptop and the tech giant's political bias. One portion of the thread reading, by 2020, requests from connected actors to delete tweets were routine. One executive would write to another, more to review from the Biden team, and the reply would come back, handled. Would you come
my way? This is the Trevor Carey Show. Did you burn out to the end? On the Valley's Power Talk. Would you come my way?
This makes Watergate seem like jaywalking. And I don't think that's hyperbole. As Elon Musk continues to release all of this clearly high-level communication between major aspects of the Democrat Party and big tech executives, clearly there was a rig job, a collusion enforced in this aspect associated with the New York Post story. Jen Psaki bragged from the White House podium about how the White House was regularly demanding that different tweets and that different people be censored on these platforms.
That's right. We remember that. That's Clay Travis right there, right?
The left loves free speech too, don't we?
No, that's why you're attacking Elon Musk ever since he purchased Twitter. And what they're doing right now, it's very familiar. Come on. It's exactly the playbook, the Saul Alinsky playbook, just like they demonized Donald Trump. So what they're doing is they're claiming they're defending all these principles, democracy, the rule of law, right? No, you're attacking somebody that you have put the crosshairs on as a political opponent. I played you the audio, and I could literally play probably about over an hour of nonstop audio of the left denying Trump's presidency from day one. Hillary, Joe, Nancy, they declared for years that he stole the 2016 election. And then they cooked up, the Clinton campaign Russian collusion. That was years of official investigations. And you had Robert Mueller prove that that was a lie. And then what did they do after that? They're not done. Let the man get on with being the president, right? Not at all. They took a few sentences in a Trump phone call with Zelensky in Ukraine to launch the third presidential impeachment in U.S. history. And think about this just for a moment. What they have done, the efforts to remove a lawfully elected president. This was orchestrated at the highest levels. And, the attacks against Musk right now, they're just following the same playbook. Remember that Elon Musk, the liberals used to love Elon Musk. Look at his rockets and look at his electric cars and he's one of us. No. He's public enemy number one. All because he said Twitter should allow more free speech. They're now calling him a threat to the country. You know what? He could surprise us later. I know he's going to say and do and enact things I'm not going to agree with, but that's America. I don't have to agree with everything Elon Musk does, and Elon Musk doesn't have to agree with everything that I agree with. But his commitment to one of what I was saying and will keep saying is one of our most cherished freedoms, our freedom of speech. When that goes, good night. Turn it off. Turn off the lights and walk away when our freedom of speech goes away. And he's restored Trump's Twitter account. I guess Trump hadn't been on Twitter, right? He's on his Truth Social. That would be like the head guy at Coke, slamming a Pepsi and advertising it, right? Now, they're hearing all about this right-wing hate, this white nationalism, the KKK, all this hatred that is now on Twitter since Elon Musk has given amnesty, right? Zilch, zero, nada evidence, other than Kanye putting his swastika in the middle of the Star of David. Elon Musk said, no, that's incitement to violence. We don't allow that. Well, it's kind of becoming obvious, is it not? And if it's not, hopefully it'll be obvious to you after your ears listen to what I'm about to say right here. Why did they go after Trump and, in essence, go after the voters of Trump? Why did they go after him? He was a threat to their power. He was a threat to their privilege. See, he was the first guy. Trump was. He was actually the first president that had no political or military experience. That had not happened in America. He was a complete outsider. And he got in there and he said, I'm going to expose the hypocrisy of the swamp, right? And you had a lot of Democrats. You had a lot of Republicans. That's why you got the Never Trump Republicans. They didn't like that. And the fact that he accomplished a whole lot, helping the economy hum along, got the peace deals in the Middle East. We weren't in war. He called out China, right? But he was a threat to their authority. He was a threat to their power. And when they look at Elon Musk, it doesn't matter the name. If you're a threat, you're a threat. And for a long, long time, Walter Cronkite, go back, they've controlled the flow of information. They have. And they have with social media as well. And they see the promise to put free speech back on Twitter. That is a threat in the highest regards. Whoopi Goldberg stated to walk away from Twitter until they figure out how to, ready, get this? Here's Whoopi Goldberg's quote, get the control you need on the platform. Yeah, and the lady sitting to her left.
The left loves free speech too, don't we?
Why would you have to ask that? No, you don't. Congressman Kevin McCarthy thinks the disclosures are just the tip of the iceberg. He's wondering why Facebook and Google have been hiding, right? He said this is just the beginning. He said when you go to a long show, you have episode after episode after episode. This is going to be a long show. Okay, we'll see. Keeping that quote. Almost want to nail it up to the wall back here. I'm going to put this thing on. Start a new McCarthy file over there. See if they follow through with these early promises. Remember, Democrats deliver on their promises. We'll see if Republicans do. I'm glad he's actually saying that, right? We Congressman Representative Comer of Kentucky, boy, I hope that we still got people really nervous about the audit here at Fresno City Hall. I hope we got a lot of people at Twitter now, whether they work there in the past or work there now or just recently got let go. We got the congressman from Kentucky. He's the incoming chair of the House Oversight Committee. He's going to take the old screwdriver out and start turning it clockwise. He's going to turn the screws tighter and tighter and tighter. This release information shows employees on Twitter's legal policy and communication teams debating over whether to restrict the New York Post article. What a coincidence. We'll see. Well, here's what Comer said. He plans to haul every Twitter employee, past and present, who participated in the suppression before Congress to testify under oath. He said, we're going to have every single person on Twitter that was involved in this in front of the House Oversight Committee as soon as possible. Good, good. Back in May, Republican members of the House Judiciary Committee asked the Twitter board of directors to preserve all records related to Elon Musk's proposed takeover. I guess they knew it back then. I'm going to give them more credit I've been giving them for getting this in line. We may soon a good move on the Republicans' part back in May to make them preserve all these records, right? Ranking member Jim Jordan of Ohio made the request to the Twitter board chair. In one of the letters, he said, you should construe this preservation notice as instruction to take all reasonable steps to prevent the destruction or alteration of all documents. Good. Imagine those Twitter employees right now, what they now must think, right? It's going to hit the fan for some of these folks out there, and I'm glad. Country music superstar John Rich warned that the communist that are been cutting all this stuff out, that he's going to join Hollywood star James Woods' class action suit against him for censoring the speech of Americans. He's going to sue. And James Wood found out with that Twitter dump on Friday that his tweets were told to be taken off. So he's doing a class action lawsuit against him. He said, I'm getting a lawyer. I'm going to sue the National Committee no matter what. Whether I win or lose, I'm going to stand up for the rights that every American. This is James Wood saying, not a so-called celebrity. He said, I'm not a celebrity. I'm hardly recognizable anymore because my career has been destroyed by these very people, and I will sue. To my friends in the Republican Party, if your patriotism is genuine, not at all bluff and bluster, let loose the dogs of war. Well, you're talking to Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy. You think they're really going to let loose the dogs of war? I hope I'm happily surprised. But do you think I will be? Come on, I've been around. Played this game too many times. Elon Musk said Twitter acting by itself to suppress free speech is not a First Amendment violation, but acting under orders from the government to suppress free speech with no judicial review is.
Elon Musk seems to be suggesting that there could be a drip, drip, drip of new material. He says he gave access to the full documentation inside of Twitter to writer Barry Weiss, who she has access to the complete collection. So Weiss is expected to do some reporting, as is journalist Matt Taibbi. Taibbi laid out round one of what he learned in a lengthy tweet thread on Friday. Taibbi wrote that Twitter's posts and users were routinely removed at the request of a political party, noting Democrats held more clout on that front due to political leanings of staff.
All right, you got James Wood, you got John Rich from Big and Rich. And now with this release of the Twitter files on suppression, you even have, remember the Covington High Schooler, Nicholas Sandman, standing in front against the Native Indian guy with the drum, and, you know, everybody ripped him, CNN, all these lawsuits, and he has actually won his lawsuits, had his reputation smeared in his Make America Great Again hat. He was at a March for Life. Well, Sandman took to Twitter to ask Musk if any files have been uncovered pertaining to the death threats he got. He said, typically they would be suspended for violating the terms of service with the death threats, but they didn't. They allowed these illegal threats when this man was 16 years old. So seems like people are standing up, and I am so glad that they're standing up. And I tell you, this is a moment. We have never, that I, in my memory, if somebody can say, give me a reason, another reason why, but I've never seen any mainstream media that has gone this far before, down deep, down, down deep into the swamp. Well, I've been giving you the numbers of the percentage of Californians moving to states like Texas. The Babylon Bee nails it. It's a funny series called California's Move to Texas. I played one of the first episodes in the first hour of the show. We're going to come back and listen to another installment. And Paul Loeffler, Fresno State, big win over Boise, Mountain West Championship. We'll get more coming up, bottom of the hour.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
The motto, never say never. Fresno State all year long. Never quit, never quit. Jake Haner after the game here.
Got to turn this thing red. That's what I hear. That's right. And I think we did tonight. So shout out to the Red Wave, baby. This journey's been unbelievable. Like I said, I wouldn't be able to do it with my family, friends, teammates, coaches, everybody. And it's just been an unbelievable experience. The adversity, I think it's made me a better person, a better man, and wouldn't change it for the world.
It's a team, a story, a legend that will go on. What an incredible turnaround. Coach Tedford here.
A lot of hard work went into it to be where we are now. I couldn't be prouder of this football team, the staff. I mean, everybody just kept believing, a lot of perseverance, and this group really deserves it because they believed in themselves and a lot of people really didn't believe in us.
That's true. So true. Paul Loeffler, bottom of the hour here. This is lunacy, incoming House Democrat whip, Catherine Clark. Listen to her talking about her middle child and how they would wake up and what would happen. Listen.
But they've also given us a model to become our own leaders. And let me tell you what it means to me, coming in as a different generation. I remember my middle child waking up with nightmares over concern around climate change.
Climate change nightmares. Well, it could be true, little kid, right?
The world is going to end in 12 years if we...
That'd give me a nightmare, wouldn't it?
...don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is...
Yeah, you see how that can happen, right? The world's going to end. Yeah, I guess that would be considered a nightmare, kind of under the subject matter, right? Sure it would. Babylon Bee, they are incredible. I guess they'll be back on Twitter. Now, I think they were suspended for having a sense of humor. Liberals don't have a sense of humor. You don't.
Stop it. Stop it now.
Well, we laugh at you. You're right. You're a funny guy. You're a comedian, right? But they really don't. And when they try, they're not. And there was, I remember as a kid, laying in bed at night, hearing my dad, my mama, up in the living room, the Johnny Carson theme. Dun, 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 dun. Then I got old enough, Letterman was the big guy to watch for my I remember watching Letterman up in Chico, in school up there when I was briefly registered, in school up there. And after that, I don't remember watching much late night. I really didn't. They were funny. Leno was funny. Letterman was funny until he got toward the end there. Then he got kind of liberal, cranky guy. But they're not funny anymore. But Republicans are funny. Listen to what the Babylon Bees put together. And I played you the first episode in the 3 o'clock hour where the neighbor came over and they, you know, he had his open carry in Texas. Thank you, Ken. And calling the police and getting the phone out to film him. They didn't even know what it was like to be neighborly. They're out there campaigning for Beto O'Rourke in Texas. And it was too hot to be out on the streets, and people were closing the doors on them. So they thought, isn't there a place everybody congregates where we could go and campaign for Beto? And then they found a church. I think it's kind of funny. Huh?
So, how's it going?
Great. I just got another voter.
Yeah, me too.
That house looks promising. I can get that one if you want.
When Californians move to Texas.
Hey, how about we go together?
Sure. With our powers combined, we'll get the whole neighborhood to vote Beto. It's so miserable outside. I wish there was an indoor location we could go to where a bunch of Texans gather regularly, or we can just do a bunch of canvassing all at once.
So this is the First Baptist Church? So historic.
Those are the kinds of things that folks outside the church might need to hear.
Isn't that
right? Howdy! Stephen Timpani.
Hey, we're just out here canvassing for Beto O'Rourke, and we want to know, when's a good time to do that?
You know, why don't y'all just come have a seat?
Sure.
We were just talking about some of the amazing things that Jesus has done. So to recap, Jesus takes away our sins.
Well, Beto's going to take away our AR-15s.
Safety first.
And Clay?
Yes, he's a miracle worker. And he even walked on water.
Well, Beto once skateboarded through a Whataburger parking lot.
Jesus escaped the shackles of death.
Beto once escaped the scene of a car wreck with a blood alcohol level of 0.134%.
And that's twice the legal limit.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal.
Huh. Okay. Well, thank y'all for coming. And be sure to stay for the potluck.
Potluck.
What a comeback season. Fresno State defeating Boise State. We celebrated with Paul Loeffler, voice of Fresno State Athletics, earlier. We're going to join in the fun next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Evan Williams tried to get there. The punt away. Remigio from his own 30. Fakes right. Starts left. Now he's got room in the middle of the field. Angling right. Looking for blockers. Remigio to the 40. The 30 of Boise State. Down to the 20. There's a block from Comstock. And he's escorted into the end zone. Touchdown, Fresno State. 70 yards. Nico Remigio's second punt return. Touchdown of the year. And the Bulldogs have exploded in front in Boise.
Well, let's see if he's still on that cloud 10. Paul Leffler, the voice of Fresno State, congratulations.
Hey, cloud 42, Trevor. I mean, that was...
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Pretty spectacular what this team was able to do this year, touching so many lives along the way. And just what a special moment on the blue turf on Saturday.
Any symbolism to 42, or is that just a number you picked out of the sky?
Yeah, I mean, you said cloud 10. I mean, usually it's cloud 9. I'm saying, I mean, that's
okay.
How much this exceeded what anybody thought this team, you know, outside of the Fresno State circle, what anybody expected out of this team when it was 1-4. But these guys never stopped believing. You know, they took 1 week at a time. That's the cliche, but it's the hardest thing to do. And I think because this coaching staff did such a good job of keeping them in that mentality, when they finally got to Boise in the Mountain West Championship game, there was this sense of, hey, we've been focused so much on 1 week at a time. That's what got us here, but now we're here. So now we know what to do. You know, we just do it one more time. And for the eighth straight week, they found a way. They made the key plays and the key moments. And like I said, you know, it's a powerful thing for the fan base, which was a big part of the success this year. Their support made a difference. But a powerful thing to see a team stare adversity in the face, say, we're not going to let it get the better of us. We're going to band together. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep believing. And the belief that this team demonstrated between the lines in that 8-game win streak is something that I know, because I've heard from different fans, and I just know it to be true, that belief inspired belief for some of your listeners and what they're dealing with in their lives. And we get one more chance with this special team at the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl on December 17th. Can't wait.
Yeah, well, win or lose coming up at the bowl, incredible. It'll be a win season no matter what. And I think right here, I'll just be honest with you, Paul. I think Coach Tedford was talking a little bit about me. I'll tell you why after I play his comments here.
A lot of hard work went into it to be where we are now. I couldn't be prouder of this football team, the staff. I mean, everybody just kept believing, a lot of perseverance, and this group really deserves it because they believed in themselves and a lot of people really didn't believe in us.
Okay, a lot of people didn't believe him. I when I heard him say that, I went back to my comment after the November election. I said, the red wave in the election and the red wave in football, my expectations were just too high. Because at the start of the season, I thought that, you know, USC, we stood a chance, and I just got all amped up, and then I was one of those that said out loud, my expectations were too high, and look what happened. Eat my words.
Well, and you're not the only one. A lot of people are eating their words because, you know, it doesn't happen every year. That's why it's so special. Most teams that start out 1-4 do not win their final 8 games, including a conference championship game, on one of the toughest places to come in and win. You know, this was a special season, and it took a special coaching staff and special players who decided to lead. And leadership is lonely, Trevor. A lot of times, if you're a leader, you have to do things that other people aren't willing to do, that other people may be telling you you can't do. And because you believe and you know it's the right thing, you have to take that next step and keep moving. And this program is loaded with leadership, whether it's the head coach, you know, these veteran coordinators, or the players. You know, look at Jake Haener. When his teammates saw him break his ankle and say, you know what, I don't care if these doctors said I can't come back. I'm going to take every chance I can find. If there's any chance I can get back on the field, I'm going to make it happen. And he did. And Evan Williams, you know, the injury wasn't quite as severe, but it could have cost a lot of guys the rest of the season. And he did the same thing. It's man to man. People stepped up. And instead of saying, hey, things aren't going our way, I don't want to embarrass myself and keep believing when it's not likely to happen. No, they did the opposite. They said, hey, I don't care what's happening. That doesn't steal my ability to work as hard as I can and stay focused and continue believing. And I think that's the word. You may get sick of me saying it, but I think that's the word. And it's echoed from Coach Tedford and the players. It's that belief. This team never lost it. And that's what propelled them to such a powerful moment in Boise.
And Paul Loeffler, you know there's going to be high school coaches and other college coaches around and Pop Warner coaches that here in the Valley that will be like, all right, guys, we're 1-4. The Red Wave 22, remember that? Remember that story I told you about that football team? This is one that will go on into the future, a legendary team.
Absolutely. And just think of how it's going to affect lives, right? And the players' lives, certainly. A lot of these guys will be back next year. You know, how are they going to embrace some of the challenges they face next year in light of what they experienced this year? How about, you know, just young fans who got to see this team and what they're going to go on to experience as student athletes or just in life? You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s who are dealing with tough stuff in life, and they look at the Bulldogs and say, you know what, if they can find a way to do what they did, maybe attitude matters in what I'm facing too. Maybe I can keep believing. Maybe I can keep persevering. Maybe there's a payoff at the end for me. I just think it's one of those lessons. And this is why we love being around sports, because of the parallels, because of the lessons we can learn, because of how applicable things we see between the lines are outside the lines. And to me, that's the biggest one, because everybody listening right now, Trevor, is going through something. And some may have it harder than others. But nobody listening right now is without access to hope. There's always hope. And this team not only believed, but it made those dreams a reality. And that's what gives other people hope. So I just hope we have a great game down there against Washington State on December 17th and that we see a whole lot of the Red Wave there. Because to me, that's a big element of what this team did this year. It's the fans. I mean, they showed up. That team was 1-4 coming home against San Jose State, and the place was packed. And I know Devontae Adams had something to do with that, but it's still, that's the fan base. And they kept showing up all season long. That meant something to the players. And what the players did for the fans Saturday in Boise was the return on that investment.
Now, was it full? Was the stadium full up there in Boise?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. You know, it's not part of the season ticket package. So it's a one-off deal. So they had about 25,000 people there in a almost 36,000-seat stadium. So it was about two-thirds full.
All right. Now, we were talking about the blue turf up there. I got a good line. Boy, we stepped on their blue suede shoes, didn't we?
No doubt. and they do have a couple Elvis impersonators that are always in the south end zone there. So I think that really works more than you knew.
I didn't know that. But this motto that you're talking about, you know, all through life, no matter what you're doing, what this year is, never say never. And I actually looked up, Paul, where that came from. It was Charles Dickens in 1837 in the Pickwick Papers. That was the first time the expression was ever actually recorded. Never say never. And how true is that?
Absolutely. And you know, to throw out another Dickensian reference, you know, this is a team that started the year with great expectations and had them dashed. And, you know, it's not a tale of two cities. It's a tale of two seasons, really. It's those first five games and then what followed. And that, again, I think is just a reflection of the character of this program, the character of the coaching staff, the character of the players. and their willingness to believe and to band together instead of splintering apart. And again, I think that's a lesson for any organization, for any team, for any family, you know, for a lot of people. I think this is applicable in so many ways for so many people. And some will say, well, you're making too much of a silly football game. I think this year showed us that it's more than a silly football game. It's something that matters, that means a great deal to the people of this valley. And, you know, Pat Hill used to say it so often when he was the coach, and I think he was right, that the football program is kind of the front door of the university and also of the valley. And, you know, as a region, Trevor, we can often be disregarded. We can be overlooked. We're not the Bay Area. We're not L.A. Those of us who live here like it that way. We don't want to be those places, right? But from the outside, I'm sure you deal with this. You know, your friends in Tennessee say, hey, Fresno, is that in L.A.? Is that by the Bay? Is that on the coast? No, it's not. But it has its own identity. And it's okay to always be overlooked, to always be the underdog, especially when you get moments like this where you get to prove all the doubters wrong, where you get to overcome the odds. And so to me, the story of this 2022 football team is a parallel for a story that's played out with people from the Valley time after time after time, and will continue to be that way for a long time, I think. And I think that this is an area that embraces that underdog mentality, that welcomes it. And when you have a team that really reflects it so perfectly, like this team did this year, it just gets you all the more fired up.
You know, I have a friend from New York who's never got, furthest west he's ever been was the Indianapolis 500. And he did ask me, he's like, Fresno, where's that? I go, we're right in the middle of the state and right in the middle of everything. That's how I describe where we are, right in the middle of the state and in the middle. And yes, my expectations, I said on the air, were too high this year. And I had to eat my words, but I kept listening and I kept watching every game. And it's the first time in my adult life I've watched every or listened to, ooh, I hit the mic. Sorry, Paul, and everybody else's ear who I just banged there loud. But I watch every game and listen to every game, and your guys' insight to this and the balance that you do with the coach and with Cam and the guests that you guys pull on, it's top-notch. You could broadcast a game anywhere in America and slide right in. I tell you, you guys are really good at what you do, and I was excited. I was like, man, what's it going to be like to have to broadcast a 1-in-8 year, you know, toward the end when it's cold and rainy somewhere? That's not going to be fun, but you guys had a lot of fun. You could just hear it in your voice as each week went on. The excitement was there.
Well, yeah, and it's a ton of fun, and we never lose sight of the fact that it's a privilege, right? And we've been there when it's 1-8. You know, that was a few years ago, and it wasn't a whole lot of fun, but it's still a privilege. And, you know, the Red Wave, that's who makes it a privilege, to be their eyes and ears. We want to give them a good idea of what's going to happen and then what's happening as it happens. And you know, working with Pat and Cam, what a luxury that is. Those guys know the game at a level that I'll never be able to reach, but I learned so much from them. Pat called it in the pregame, right? He said, hey, Boise State really struggles in their punt coverage, and this is a great opportunity for Nico Remigio to take one to the house. And that was the biggest play of the game. And Pat saw it coming hours ahead of time, probably days ahead of time, because that's how his brain works. And nobody loves the program and the community more than Pat Hill and Cam Worrell. So, you know, again, I learn a lot from them. They help me with perspective. They're a ton of fun to be around. So that's why I'm fired up that I get to hang out with them again on December 17th, on Pat Hill's birthday, by the way. And I heard a little rumor that there's going to be a rebroadcast of our broadcast from the other day, that the championship game is going to be on Fox Sports 1340 on Thursday.
Good. Yes, I'm hearing 5 o'clock Thursday evening. And well, listen, Paul, I know you've talked a whole lot in the last few days. We'll have you back on about December 17th down at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood against Washington State. And we know you got to get ready for your basketball hour coming up tonight at 6. So busy man, a lot of time there. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Trevor. And yeah, I hope I see a lot of people out there at the Point for the basketball show tonight. And you just mentioned at SoFi. Let's not forget, not only did that host the Super Bowl last year, that's where the national championship is going to be played a few weeks after the Bulldogs play there. So for these young men, so many of whom are from Southern California, to play on that field, in that stadium, on that stage, that's a really big deal. What a great opportunity, and I can't wait to see so many Bulldog fans down there.
Is it really one of the wonders of the sports world? You've seen it in person, right? Yeah, of course. What's it like to you?
You know, I haven't been in there yet.
Oh, you haven't?
I've flown over it. You know, I've landed and taken off at LAX, and it's right there, so you see it. And, of course, I've seen it on television. I've seen our jets from the 144th Fighter Wing flying over it for NFL games. Maybe they'll even get to do it for this bowl game. Who knows?
I didn't know those were our jets we see every day out here, really.
Oh, yeah. You know, the 144th Fighter Wing, they cover the whole West Coast. So they've flown over the World Series, the Niners-Charger game a few weeks ago. We didn't get to have them at any Bulldog games this year because they're all at night.
And you don't ever get another chance to time that out right with the national anthem to get it to fly over the right exact time, right? Somebody is on their game with that.
Oh, and it's military precision, man. That's what it's all about. And you know, we have some guys in that group at the 144th Fighter Wing who are Fresno State alums who I'm sure would relish the opportunity to provide that pregame flyover. And every time I use the word relish, I think of Pat Hill and the hot dog race. I don't know if we can take the hot dog race to SoFi Stadium, but
let's have him. He could parachute right there close to LAX, right? That's off the table, right? That's off the table, isn't it?
That would be something. It is his birthday. Maybe we could convince him to do it for his birthday.
If there's ever been a day, birthday, SoFi Stadium, bowl game, I think that's it. Paul Loeffler, God bless. Thank you, sir, for your time.
Anytime, Trevor. Take care.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Boy, that's some good news in a sea of things that haven't been such great news as of late, right? It felt good, and I got to tell you that call with the interception, I just thought, I was like, yeah, you go.
Evan Williams tried to get there, the punt away. Remigio from his own 30, fakes right, starts left. Now he's got room in the middle of the field.
Not interception, punt return.
Angling right, looking for blockers. Remigio to the 40, the 30 of Boise State, down to the 20. There's a block from Comstock, and he's escorted into the end zone. Touchdown, Fresno State, 70 yards. Nico Remigio's second punt return touchdown of the year, and the Bulldogs have exploded in front in Boise.
Wow, and thank you to Paul Loeffler for alerting me. It's the 144th, does the flyover, and since all the games have been at night, they haven't been doing them, but they'll be down there in the bowl game in L.A. doing that. One and four. And I admitted, what's that called, eating crow? Yeah, eating crow. Yeah, shooting a crow with a BB gun, putting it over the fire, plucking all the feathers off, adding some garlic salt to it, and just cutting right into it and swallowing it. I was never against them by no stretch. I was just like, my anticipation was too high. I think I said it three or four times. Somebody can go back and go to the podcast and check that and get back to me. But doesn't it teach us all something? It really does. And I remember when Paul Loeffler was in here when it was 1-4 and we were having the interview. And I'd mentioned about that time that Kevin Blecko was at plate, and he heard me from the dugout say, we can turn this around. I remember giving that story on the air, and Blecko hit one off the wall, and we rallied and we won. And he told me later he heard me say that in there. So I remember like taking more credit for the game than anybody. I was like, did everybody hear what he said? See, I won the game for us. See, if it weren't for me, I was that guy on the team, right? And they would throw stuff at me and tell me to shut up. But, yeah, it's the camaraderie. See these moments right here? I immediately went back to an emotion from high school. And you asked me what I bought at the grocery store on Saturday. I couldn't tell you. I know I got ice cream. I remember that. But we go back, and that's what sports is so important. And you have not a big majority, not even a majority, but it seems to be growing, whether it's high school or college, that there's just too much emphasis being put on sports. It has not the redeeming value that what they're learning in the classroom. And yeah, you know what? I will say to you that only, and I'm sure Paul Loeffler would have the figure if I ask him, but you know, what percentage of The guys this year on this team will go on to make money off of what they've committed their whole probably childhood to, junior high, high school, college. And it's going to be a letdown. And I talked to Paul about this on the air. After that bowl game, for those that don't have an NFL career or, you know, seniors and not coming back, that feeling of it's over, right? And you're so young. That has to be a real trip. Even though it feels great and all that, and you're proud of what you did, and you have a degree, and you'll move on in business world or whatever they choose to go do out there, maybe coach, right? But that's why some of them love it so much. They got a coach somewhere, and that's awesome to continue that. But it's just there'll be a lot of emotions, what I'm saying, after this game right here. And it's just so proud of the team, what they did with that comeback of a year. And yeah, education is important. Yes, it is. But what they've learned from this, I'll say it's something that a lot of times education won't teach you. And they'll take this. And I think, as Paul Loeffler said, so many people, doesn't matter your age, going through so much out there, never say never. And if they don't win the bowl game, and I'm not being a pessimist, I'm not. It's a win season. I don't care, man. It's a win season, right? Hey, if you missed it, we had the reporter from the New York Post, and now with Breitbart, Emma Jo Morris, on the show about the laptop, what Twitter has uncovered, the suppression of the government, and all of that. We'll see how the Republicans handle this right now. And freedom of speech, I love it. Maybe it's going to be cool again in America. Hey, we got Bulldogs Basketball Hour. Coach Hudson, Coach White at the Point Patio Bar and Bistro. Thanks to Agent Squires, God willing, tomorrow.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.